Thank you, Mr. Hawk, and good morning, brethren. Very happy Sabbath to you. Just a beautiful day. It was a nice fog this morning. I always love the fog. It's just kind of cool, and then it lifts, and it's beautiful. I realized something pretty cool this morning. If I go like this, which I did this a lot this morning, I don't have any lips, so my kids thought that was pretty cool, so I thought maybe on the webcast that'd be cool as well, so the joys of having a beard. So his name was Billy. He was not a terrible kid. He had a good heart, but he certainly broke the rules from time to time. He generally flew below the radar and didn't cause too much trouble in the fourth grade class that I was teaching at the time. But one afternoon, I watched Billy on the other side of the room. He took a small plastic crown off of another student's head, and without meaning to, he broke the crown in his hands. Naturally, the student was upset that Billy had done this. So I called Billy over to correct him and to figure out a punishment for his offense. When I asked him about the incident, he denied it happened. And typical for a fourth grader, and sometimes it works, but this time I had caught him red-handed. I explained to him that I saw it happen. We went through a couple rounds of this, and then the tears started flowing. And I quickly realized that he was fully convinced that he was innocent, and I was never going to win this argument. His mind had distorted the memory so that he honestly thought that he had not done this act. And I learned a scary lesson about human nature that day. The truth in our minds can be different from reality. The truth in our minds can be different from reality. Truth is elusive. Experiences like this made me very skeptical of whether or not students were telling the truth. As a teacher, sometimes you become skeptical because you just can't believe it sometimes. The fact is, it's hard to get down to the truth in a matter. Even when a person is sure they are telling the truth, they might be deceiving themselves. And as was the case with Billy, in the world that we live in, it's really hard to find the truth. We are surrounded by noise. Truth is elusive. This is what makes God's truth so incredibly valuable. God's truth gives us a solid, unmoving, unchanging, unwavering foundation to stand on and to look to. When it comes to God's truth, there are many skeptics. A skeptic, by definition, questions the validity or authenticity of something purporting to be factual. Big words. Some are difficult to have a conversation with. Some skeptics you can't talk to because they don't want to hear other points of view. They only want to hear their own. But many are open to hearing a balanced approach. We don't have to be great debaters when discussing God's truth with others. When we go into a conversation knowing the facts and having scriptural support, we are then simply sharing the truth and defending the faith. Today I'd like to look at God's truth from a conversational view, by looking at basic questions a skeptic might ask and the basic answers we can prepare for future conversations with them. The takeaway is this today. We must know what the truth is and where we can find it so that we can defend it. And I'll repeat that. We must know what the truth is and where we can find it so that we can defend it. So what does the truth look like from a skeptic's point of view? We're going to look at five questions a skeptic of the truth might ask. And we'll go in a who, what, where, when, why order. And then we'll answer the skeptic and glean the principles and scriptures that guide the conversation. So we'll get started by asking the first question. So the first question a skeptic might ask is, who decides what truth is? Who decides what truth is? And the skeptic might say something like this. I did some Google searches, and there have been between 8,000 and 12,000 different gods worshipped throughout history. Today, there are over 4,000 religions in the world. There are thousands of denominations of Christianity. So of the thousands of gods, thousands of religions in the world, and thousands of denominations, you're telling me only one of those is the true God, the true religion, and the true denomination that has the truth? Tough sell. Who decides what truth is? So our answer might go like this. I don't decide the truth, do you? Do you trust anyone in this world to be the source of foundational, fundamental truth? Mankind doesn't have the answers we want and need. We need an ultimate authority. We need a pure source of truth. The only pure source of truth can be the source of all living things. We are a creation, and a creation has a creator. Only the creator can know everything about the creation. Only the creator can understand what and why he created. People have and do worship all sorts of false gods, but there is only one true God. God, the father of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and of you, and of me. He's the creator of all. He created the entire physical realm, everything we know and see. He's the only one who knows and understands everything about the universe because he created it. And he reveals to us that he created mankind for a purpose. Once we find the one true God and accept God as our creator and the source of truth, then we can begin to dig in and study what God reveals to us and what his purpose is for creating us. So let's turn over to a couple scriptures. Let's begin in Job chapter 38. So for each question and answer, I have a couple scriptures that we can turn to. And they'll help us make our point. And I only chose a couple for each one to keep that conversation going. So Job chapter 38. Job chapter 38, and we'll read verses 1 through 11, and then verses 34 through 38. Job 38, verse 1 says, "Then the Eternal answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, 'Who is this who darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Now prepare yourself like a man. I will question you, and you shall answer me. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched the line upon it? To what were its foundations fastened? Or who laid its cornerstone? When the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy? Or who shut in the sea with doors when it burst forth and issued from the womb? When I made the clouds its garment and thick darkness its swaddling band? When I fixed my limit for it and set bars and doors? When I said, this far you may come, but no further, and here your proud waves must stop?'" Let's jump down to verses 34 through 38. "Can you lift up your voice to the clouds, that an abundance of water may cover you? Can you send out lightnings that they may go, and say to you, 'Here we are'? Who has put wisdom in the mind, or who has given understanding to the heart? Who can number the clouds by wisdom, or who can pour out the bottles of heaven? When the dust hardens in clumps and the clods cling together." When we think about the complexity of the creation, the complexity of the universe, the complexity of the human mind, it's dumbfounding. We truly are a grand creation that came from a grand creator. Let's turn over to, for one more scripture, to Proverbs chapter 2. Proverbs chapter 2. And we'll read verses 1 through 9. Just one more scripture for this question. This is from Solomon, the wisest person to ever live. And here he's speaking on wisdom. Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 through 9. "My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding, yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Eternal and find the knowledge of God. For the Eternal gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk uprightly. He guards the paths of justice and preserves the way of his saints. Then you will understand righteousness and justice, equity, and every good path." So apply your heart to understanding. Cry out for discernment. Search for it. Cherish it. Yearn for it. And God will grant it to us. But it is God's to give. We ask, and God gives. So the takeaway for this first question, the first question was, who decides what truth is? Our takeaway answer is this: the Creator God is the ultimate source of the truth. The Creator God is the ultimate source of the truth. The second question a skeptic might ask is, what is truth? What is truth? So the skeptic might say something like this: truth is all relative. No one agrees on anything in this world. Everyone has their own version of truth. There are millions of sources, all claiming to have the truth. How do I discern what the truth really is? I'm not sure there really is such a thing as absolute truth. What is truth, anyways? Our answer might go something like this: you are absolutely right. There are a million voices out there in the world, and yes, many of them claim to have the truth. But let's ignore them all for a minute and remember where the truth comes from: God. And everything God says is the truth. So to put it simply, the truth is God's revealed word. Within the pages of the Bible, God explains why he created us, why we're here. He explains how we are to live. He explains how we are to truly worship him. He explains who Satan is and how he's opposed to us. He explains what happens after death. He explains his plan of salvation for all of mankind and the potential for eternal life in his kingdom. The truth revealed in the Bible is not relative. It is absolute. The truth is absolute. Human beings are temporary, but God is eternal. We fail, but the truth does not. The truth never changes. It never fails. Let's turn over to Psalms chapter 119. And we'll just read one verse, one of those cool memory scriptures. Psalms 119, verse 160. Again, we'll look at just a couple scriptures to clarify our point. We'll start here in the Old Testament. So Psalm chapter 119, and we'll read verse 160. It says, "The entirety of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous judgments endures forever." The entirety of your word is truth, and it endures forever. God's word is the eternal source of the truth. And let's turn over to the New Testament. We'll turn to John chapter 17. And again, we'll just read one chapter. And again, a memory verse. John chapter 17, verse 17. A lot of us have those memory scripture cards. I keep them on my desk. I look at them a lot. Do I remember them all? No. But I'm, as all of us, we're in training. John chapter 17, verse 17. And this is the words of Jesus Christ, and it's here in the middle of the prayer to the Father before he was crucified. John chapter 17, verse 17, it says, "Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth." Sanctify them. Set them apart by your truth. We are set apart by knowing and understanding the truth, what God says in his word. So, the takeaway, the second question was, what is truth? And our takeaway answer is, the truth is God's revealed word, and it is absolute. The truth is God's revealed word, and it is absolute. The third question a skeptic might ask is, so again, we're going to who, what, where, when, why, so we have to start with where. So question number three is, where can I find the truth? Where can I find the truth? The skeptic might say something like this: you're telling me you want me to read the Bible? That's the oldest book ever. I've heard that the Bible is just stories passed down by word of mouth. I'm pretty sure it's fiction. I actually had a conversation with someone recently who said those exact same things. And you're telling me that God is the author? And that's the ultimate source of truth? I don't know if I can believe that. Our answer might go something like this: good question. Despite what you have heard, the Bible is the Word of God, and there are many ways to prove that the Bible is true. We can look at history and archaeology. We can look at fulfilled prophecies. And the Bible is consistent within itself. But we have to prove it for ourselves. Once we do prove it for ourselves and accept that this is indeed the Word of God, then we can begin to study his word and use it in our lives. Indeed, God reveals the truth in his word. We find the word truth in the Bible over 200 times. It says a lot about truth, and it certainly reveals much. Let's turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 3. And and we will read verses 16 through 17. And here we find an important reminder that God is behind the scenes, and he is working out his plan. So 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 through 17. It says, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." The men who authored the books of the Bible did not just write whatever they wanted to write. They were inspired by God. And let's turn back a little bit to 2 Peter. We'll read one more scripture for this point. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 16 through, we'll go all the way down to 21. So 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 16 through 21. "For we did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when such a voice came to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And we heard this voice which came from heaven when we were with him on the holy mountain. And so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation, for prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit." God is in charge. He has a plan. He does not leave things to chance. He inspired the prophets through his Holy Spirit. So the takeaway for question number three, third question, was where can I find the truth? And our answer is, God reveals the truth in the Bible. I know that's earth-shattering. God reveals the truth in the Bible. Very similar to the last question. So the fourth question a skeptic might ask is, when will I discover the truth? When will I discover the truth? And the skeptic might say something like this. Well, yes, I guess I wouldn't mind knowing the truth. I mean, I've been looking for answers to some of these big questions all my life and haven't found any good answers. I'd love to know if there really is a God, why we're here on earth, and what happens after death. But I'm not getting any younger. When will I discover the truth? And our answer might go something like this. God desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. He has a plan for each of us individually. He knows us better than we know ourselves, which is very comforting. He knows when it's best for us to understand the truth. We can't fully understand the truth until God reveals it to us through his Holy Spirit. We must do our part in responding to his calling when he does reveal the truth to us. And let's turn over to 1 Timothy chapter 2. I know personally this is a very hard question to answer. When we have a discussion with people, because we don't know when God is calling someone. Sometimes we can see signs and see fruits, but we must be careful not to push people away by telling them that they aren't called yet. But the fact is, we can't fully understand the truth until God does open our minds. So we must lead people in the right direction, lead them toward God and toward his truth, and God will call them in his time. And maybe he's calling them, and that's why you're having this discussion. You never know. 1 Timothy chapter 2, and we'll read verses 3 through 5. "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Jesus Christ." It's funny, I did this earlier in my notes. I read this scripture and I thought I should say something after this scripture, and then I didn't. I said it before. So we'll go to our next scripture. But the point is that God has a plan for us. He desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of God. So for our next scripture, let's turn to John chapter 16. That's so funny. I went to write something and I never did. John chapter 16, and we'll read verse 13 this time. So John chapter 16, verse 13, we need God's Holy Spirit, and God reveals his truth through the Spirit of truth, as it's called. So John chapter 16, and we'll read verse 13. It says, however, when it, the Spirit of truth, has come, it will guide you into all truth. For it will not speak on its own authority, but whatever it hears, it will speak, and it will tell you things to come. So it will guide you into all truth, the Spirit of truth. Again, very comforting. So we need God's Holy Spirit. So the fourth question was, when will I discover the truth? And our takeaway answer is, we can understand the truth when God opens our minds through the Holy Spirit. And I'll repeat it. We can understand the truth when God opens our minds through the Holy Spirit. Okay, on to the fifth question. So we go who, what, where, when, why. So the fifth question a skeptic might ask is, why is the truth so important? Why is the truth so important? And the skeptic might say something like this. I don't know, maybe the truth isn't that important after all. We're all going to die anyways, and life is short. Maybe I should just live my life and do what I want and eat my Cheetos and have fun. As long as I'm not hurting anyone, who really cares? Why is the truth so important anyway? Well, our answer might go something like this. God's truth is the most important thing in our lives. You said you want to know what happens after death? Well, why? Because you're concerned about your future. Everyone has a part of them inside that yearns to know the truth about why we're here and what the point of this life is. Everyone wants there to be more. And there is. Learning the truth gives our lives meaning and direction and hope and confidence of eternal life in the kingdom of God. If this life is all there is, then what a disappointment. But there is so much more to come. That's why the truth is so important. Let's turn to Romans chapter 2. There are a lot of scriptures we could turn to, and we are just touching the surface. But I tried to find some that were simple and helpful for each point. So Romans chapter 2, and we'll read verses 1 through 11. We all yearn for that peace, for that hope, for that eternal life. So Romans chapter 2. Verses 1 through 11. Therefore, you are inexcusable, O man, whoever you are who judge. For in whatever you judge another, you condemn yourself. For you who judge practice the same things. But we know that the judgment of God is according to truth against those who practice such things. And do you think this, O man, you who judge those practicing such things and doing the same, that you will escape the judgment of God? Or do you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? But in accordance with your hardness and your impenitent heart, you are treasuring up for yourself wrath on the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to each one according to his deeds. Eternal life to those who by patient continuance in doing good seek for glory, honor, and immortality. But to those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation, and wrath, tribulation and anguish on every soul of man who does evil. Of the Jew first and also of the Greek, but glory, honor, and peace to everyone who works what is good, to the Jew first and also to the Greek, for there is no partiality with God. I think those are very encouraging words, at the same time very scary words, but they're very encouraging. There is a future for each and every one of us, and it matters what we do in this life. We must live our lives seeking to please God and seeking eternal life. Let's turn over to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. And we'll read verses 8 through 17. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 8 through 17. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them, for it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore he says, verse 14, Awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Redeem in the time, because the days are evil. Therefore do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Walk circumspectly, redeem the time. Walk as children of light. Have no fellowship with darkness. Let's turn over to one last scripture for this point. Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. We'll just read a few verses here. Matthew chapter 7. And we'll read verses 21 through 23. Matthew 7 verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. There is a glorious future ahead. God has a plan for all of mankind. He wants us to be in his kingdom, but we must do the will of the Father. So the fifth question was, why is the truth so important? And our takeaway answer is this: the truth gives us hope of eternal life in the kingdom of God. The truth gives us hope of eternal life in the kingdom of God. As we mentioned in the beginning, truth is elusive, and in the world we live in, the information age, it is so hard to find the truth. We are surrounded by noise. God's truth is more important now than ever. God's truth is our anchor in the sea of information that we live in. We must hold fast to it. There are many skeptics of God's truth out there. We must keep studying, learning, and preparing to defend the faith. God has revealed the truth to us, and we must be ready to discuss it with others when the opportunity arises, even if they are skeptics of the truth. So the answers we gave today were simple, but they are fundamental truths. The Creator God is the ultimate source of the truth. The truth is God's revealed word, and it is absolute. God reveals his truth in the Bible, and we can understand the truth when God opens our minds through the Holy Spirit. And finally, the truth gives us hope of eternal life in the kingdom of God. So let's go forward, always ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you.